Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Carrie Peck, the elder law attorney that regularly visits with us. I got some questions for you, and they aren't about hotel charges. You ready?
I'm ready.
By the way, we had a woman call us yesterday, and I recommended you to her. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to help her or not. She was an elderly woman, but I don't know if the problem was elder law. Rather, she felt that she was swindled out of $100,000 from her brother-in-law, her wife's husband. And I said to her, I didn't know anything else about it other than call Carrie Peck. But her problem might not have been because she was old. It might have been because she was old and vulnerable. You know what I mean, Carrie?
Yes, I do. And we see a lot of that. You know, older adults are often very vulnerable, and certainly people believe they're vulnerable. They're easy pickings. Many of them, unfortunately, suffer from early onset dementia. And the scammers are out there.
Yeah, well, in this case, it was family, though. And get a load of this. Here's one other detail I know about it, Carrie. They got her to sign something. Maybe it was a contract with ink and paper, or maybe it was DocuSign. But if you've signed something or DocuSigned something, how permanent is that?
Well, it depends what's going on. I mean, usually having something signed is a bad sign for, you know, your success in the case. But, you know, we can overturn signed documents. I mean, wills that are signed when someone is cognitively impaired can be overturned. And let's not lose sight of that. A lot of scammers are, in fact, unfortunately, family members.
Yeah, I guess so. Here's a text from one of our listeners. I made my will to give $100,000 to my sole grandchild. Now there are 10. I want to split it equitably. What do I need to do now? I think we may have covered this last time, but refresh my memory. What's your advice there, Carrie?
Well, an amendment to a will has got a fancy word, fancy term, John. It's called a codicil. So your listener needs to do a codicil and just clarify that $100,000 is now divided, 10 ways, and each grandchild gets, 10%. Or excuse me, 10 divided by 100,000.
Yeah, so $10,000. I have a revocable living trust and I have some CDs that I did not put in the trust, will the CDs go to the beneficiary and not be counted in the $100,000 requiring probate?
No, if they're not in the trust, they're going to be counted towards the $100,000. And your listeners should know the question involves basic probate law. In Illinois, if you die with over $100,000 in your name alone, and I'm saying it again, in your name alone, over $100,000, then the law requires that we open a post-death probate estate in the circuit court of the county in which you reside. So in order to avoid that probate, people use what's commonly referred to as a revocable living trust, and the assets need to be, the terminology is, funded into the trust. What does that mean in English? It means you change the title to your assets so it says the John Williams Revocable Living Trust instead of the CD saying John Williams.
Right. What about this, Carrie? Carrie Peck's on the line, and you can call in or text with your questions, 312-981-7200. 312 said, my ex-wife recently remarried. She's not set up a trust or will. If she passes away, would everything go to her new husband and our daughters would be left with nothing?
Well, if you die without a will in Illinois, your spouse gets 50% and your children get 50%. So even the children from a prior marriage would get the 50% and the existing spouse would get 50%. So if you want to change that, you need to do a will. In your example, I'm assuming your caller wants the children, of course, from the prior marriage to get their share. They're going to get 50% with no will.
With no will. Okay, and maybe that's what the will would have dictated anyway. I don't know if the ex-wife wants to include her now husband with the proceeds of her share of the estate or not. But what about the the stepkids, so the ex-wife has remarried, her children will get half, her husband will get half. Will her stepchildren, her new husband's kids, get the money as well?
They will if they're in a new will. They won't if they're not in a new will. So under the laws of what we call intestacy, which is a fancy word for dying without a will, the spouse gets 50%, and her heirs of her body, her children, get the other 50%. So the stepchildren would not inherit unless the new wife creates a will and leaves them money.
If you've got a question for Carrie, here's your chance. 312-981-7200. Carrie Peck here. He's an elder law attorney at peckritchie.com. You can call his office directly if we don't get to you today. 312-201-0900. The consultation is free. 312-201-0900. Carrie, this listener says, my mother-in-law probably will be going into a home with dementia. She has about $20,000 in cash. Can we move the money so the home does not take the money? What do you know about that, Carrie?
Well, it's called Medicaid planning, and the answer is you can. It's very sophisticated legal work, and candidly would likely cost more than the $20,000 that you have. There are some people that might do it for less, but it's a rather sophisticated amount of work involved, for $20,000, I'm not sure you can get it done. I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
Well, I got a solution, but it'll be ridiculous. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, just so your listeners know, there is, an area of a law called Medicaid planning, and if your mother-in-law or a loved one has sufficient funds, then we create what's generally referred to as irrevocable trust. A very technical, highly sophisticated document. And there are methods of, quote unquote, shielding the money. But again, it's a very sophisticated, extensive legal process.
Okay, here's a cheaper way. Go to the bank, take all of the money out, put it in your house in a safe, and now you have the money. Problem solved.
It's not one I endorse. The Illinois Attorney General's office is certainly likely to come after you if they become aware of that. It's Medicaid fraud.
Well, that's too bad because it seems to me like while you should be on the hook for some of your accommodations, if you have dementia, if you have to retire to a nursing home, I hate to see people have to spend down their life savings that maybe their kids feel somewhat entitled to, or they lose the house because they don't have the money to stay there anymore. I don't know. It just seems to me like our last years of life in America are too expensive, Carrie.
Well, I would certainly endorse the proposition and the proposal that we provide end-of-life care and end-of-life housing for our older adults, but that's... At the moment, that system doesn't exist. John, if you and I want to work hard and see if we can persuade the legislature or the Congress of the United States to provide for older adults to spend their final years in appropriate living situations, receiving medical care without additional expense, I think it's a great idea. It should be an expansion of Medicare. No question about it.
Because it would be cheaper to keep some people in their homes than move them to a facility anyway.
Absolutely. That in-home care is going to be much cheaper. And unfortunately, at this point in time, our political system hasn't seen fit to pass legislation and provide those services for the older adults of America.
Here are some of your calls for Carrie Peck, the elder law attorney. Bruce, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Bruce?
Yeah, I was just wondering if my wife should die and she had an excessive amount of retail debt, am I liable for that?
Retail debt, did you say, sir?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Credit cards.
Is your name on the account? Are you on the credit card with your wife? You're likely to be liable if you're on the account, yes.
But he said most of them, okay. No. So say you've got $20,000 at Nordstrom. I was there the other day, and you could spend $20,000 at Nordstrom.
And, yeah, right.
And then you die, but it's just in your name. Does your spouse have to pay off that debt?
I think that the credit card company's coming after you, but at the end of the day, it may very well be that the credit card company can't recover. When your wife dies, I would encourage you to open a probate estate in her name alone. Let Nordstrom's or whoever it is come in and file a claim against her estate. If there's no money, then they're not going to be able to come after you. So there's some legal hoops to jump through, but I think if your name's not on the account, you should be able ultimately to avoid it.
I wonder if we should put our credit cards in separate names.
Well, I don't think that's a terrible idea.
This is Diane. You're on WGN. Hi, Diane. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I was wondering about what is the cost of having a revocable living trust done. Could you give me an idea?
It depends on the circumstances, ma'am. And so there's not it's not really one size fits all. I'm happy to have you call my office. We can get the details on your circumstance, and then we'll give you a fee quote in print, and we'll be able to handle it that way for you. But there's not really a one-size-fits-all fee.
For work like that, Carrie, do you or people in your profession tend to have a schedule, like here's what tax returns costs or irrevocable trust costs, or is it hourly? Depending on who you are, how many hours we have to put into it determines the fee.
Generally, for estate planning, most lawyers charge a flat fee. If it's very sophisticated planning that involves a lot of different documents, an irrevocable trust, a life insurance trust, a revocable living trust, things of that nature, then the lawyer might charge hourly. If there's a lot of tax ramifications, perhaps lawyers charge hourly. But in my law firm, we'll put the fees to you in a written fee agreement. You can take a look at it. We'll answer any of your questions. But we need to know what the circumstances of your situation are before we quote fees.
Okay, Diane, I'll put that number out on the radio again in a second. This is Kelly. You're on WGN. Kelly, what can we do for you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm 64, and I do not have a will or a trust, and I need to get those things. However, the reason I'm calling is because I was watching television, WTTW, you know, they have those pledge drives, and I bought a Susie Orman Complete Ultimate Retirement Program with will and trust documents, and I'm wondering if that's sufficient.
Well, I'm not particularly familiar with the Susie Orman, scenario, so I just don't know the answer. But, it strikes me that again, you're buying something where you're trying to fit potentially a round peg in a square hole. And I think it's really kind of a tailor-made document to meet your needs, not the needs of everybody watching TV.
But I would say if you've got the thing, go ahead and complete the forms. I mean, there's no harm in that,
well, of course.
Carrie.
No, I would.
A form is better than no form.
A form is better than no form.
Good luck to you on that. I know that, of course, you have a vested interest in people hiring an attorney to do that kind of work. And yet I think a lot of people think I could probably do some of it because it's so simple on my own. I've got a mortgage and a car, and some old records. I'll leave it to the kids. There, my will's done. What do you think of that, Carrie?
Well, I think that typically people that do it themselves end up not knowing when they're dead, and it doesn't work. I've never seen anybody do their own will in which ultimately it worked out well. And, yes, I have a vested interest, happy to admit it, but I want to make sure people's needs are met so that when they're gone and they're dead, they don't know that they made a mistake by doing it themselves.
Well, if you die and you've made a mistake, just come back and you can change it. It's
okay.
It's too late for us to answer more questions. We've got a pile here. Carrie, come back with us next week or next month sometime soon, and let's address more of these kinds of issues, okay?
Thanks for having me, John. Always great to be on your show.
And Carrie's number, by the way, is 312-201-0900.